know what we all have to find that from our home. Thank you. First, can everybody hear me clearly?
Yes.
Good, because I'd like to ask you to perform a thought experiment. Now, a thought experiment, the key is to make it real, as real as you can, in your mind as if it's actually happening. So I'd like you to suppose that right now there is an ornate marble mausoleum in the center of Berlin, Germany, right now. And inside, enclosed in a glass case, is the preserved embalmed body of Adolf Hitler lying in state, with long lines of Germans waiting to reverentially pass by and pay their solemn respects to the Nazi leader. It's hard to imagine, but it's hardly unimaginable because we all know that Hitler was trying to build nuclear weapons. So let's suppose, continue this thought experiment, that a scientist led by Kurt Diener and Eric Schumann were successful, and that World War II ended with Truman nuking Hiroshima and Hitler nuking Leningrad. The war thus concluding not with the defeat of Nazi Germany, but in a Mexican standoff. So in the ensuing Cold War between the West and the Third Reich, Hitler would rapidly colonize Eastern Europe from the Baltics to the Balkans and the entire Soviet Union. And in response, the West would form NATO to protect itself from Nazi imperialism. When Hitler would die in March 1953 from warfarin poisoning slipped into his wine by the chief of the Gestapo, his body would be placed in the Berlin Mausoleum as a shrine of worship and statues of him erected throughout the Nazi Empire. Hitler and his successors would, of course, suppress all knowledge of the Jewish Holocaust, which was researched by little-known scholars such as Robert Conquest of Stanford. The horrific atrocity everybody would know about instead was the Holodomor, Stalin's genocide of 12 to 15 million Ukrainians. At last, when the Nazi Empire broke down and collapsed in 1991, Nazi colonies like Poland, Czechoslovakia, Hungary, Romania, Bulgaria, the Baltics, Ukraine, Georgia, and Russia wasted no time in declaring their liberation, tearing down statues of Hitler, and asking to join NATO. It would be thought that Germany would now become part of the West at last, with a genuine peace that would include even its membership in NATO, but that was not to be. The successor government to the Nazis would remain antagonistic, its leader declaring that the collapse of the Nazi Empire was, quote, the greatest geopolitical catastrophe of the 20th century. Hitler would remain, he said, enshrined in his Berlin mausoleum because, the German leader said, quote, removing him would imply that generations had observed false values during the 58 years of Nazi rule. Now, of course, you all see the analogy. Some may be very incensed at it. And that, quite frankly, is the crux of the problem. The refusal to recognize the deep equivalence between Nazism and communism, or Marxism-Leninism, because both of these two great totalitarian barbarisms of modern times are secular religions of envy, pathologies of envious rage, Nazism preaching race envy towards those rich, exploitative Jews, and communism preaching class envy towards those rich, exploitative capitalist bourgeois. It's the same thing, because both base their ideologies on exploitation. The only way that Jews or bourgeois capitalists could get rich is to rip people off, to cheat, to steal, to exploit. In other words, both are metaphysically win-lose. The only way to prosper is to make somebody else poor. Just like the only way to be healthy is to make someone else sick. It's the same thing. Wealth, according to these religions of envy, is not created. It doesn't Brooks band, it's a fixed pie. And if somebody gets a bigger slice piece than the others, well, he took more than his fair share because he made others take a smaller slice. The reality of Germany today, the reality, is that it is prosperous and it's peaceful because it rejected the Nazi ideology of hate, of envious rage, and win-lose. The German people have rejoined the West and are part of its soul once again. And I want to argue to you that it is in the interests of the Russian people and its leaders to do so as well. Now, it's really easy to see why many Russian leaders don't think so, because we have been here before. In the 1970s, America had a series of disastrous failures and a resultant failure of will. Quagmire and defeat in Vietnam was followed by we tore ourselves apart with Watergate, and then Americans electing a reflection of their defeated self-image. The Soviets saw their chance, went on an imperial march, colonizing 12 countries in 10 years from 1969 to 1979. Brazzaville, Congo, Sao Tome, Guinea-Bissau, Benin, Angola, Mozambique, Ethiopia, Somalia, South Yemen, Nicaragua, Grenada, and of course, Afghanistan. But this did not end well. For America regained its self-confidence with Ronald Reagan, who understood that if an opponent insisted on playing win-lose, then he had no choice but to abandon his containment strategy, replacing it with, as he said, we win, they lose. His Reagan doctrine identified the key vulnerabilities of the Soviet system and implemented ways to exploit them to the max, and the unthinkable happened within a few short years. Unimaginable, but it happened. The Berlin Wall fell, and the Soviet Union itself ceased to exist. And today, we are in a similar situation as the 1970s, with an aggressive Russia taking an advantage of American self-imposed weakness. And Mr. Putin is eagerly taking advantage of this, and it is entirely possible that this weakness could continue with America. It's entirely possible, irresistibly enticing Mr. Putin to continue aggressive in Ukraine, in Moldova, in Estonia, in Georgia, and elsewhere. My argument to him is that this is an extremely risky bet. For if America elects a president inspired by Ronald Reagan next November, the exploitable weaknesses and vulnerabilities of Russia today are far worse than those of the Soviet Union in the 1980s. Russia's GDP today is on a par with Mexico's. The state of Texas has a higher GDP than all of Russia. The average life expectancy of Russian men right now is lower than that of Bangladesh. Half the conscript army of Russia now, because it's a conscript army, of course, is Muslim. Russia is in no position whatever to pick fights with anyone really willing to stand up to it. And it is thus in Russia's and Mr. Putin's self-interests to adapt a win-win course of action regarding the West. And that means, what does that mean? That means like being like Germany, facing up to and truly abandoning the evil of the past in one soul, a real and true embracing of partnership with and participation in Western civilization. And there is no one in NATO that wouldn't welcome and celebrate this. NATO, in fact, is an excellent example of a win-win relationship, despite all differences, because of course there are differences. Win-win means mutual cooperation for mutual benefit. That's what NATO does. Russia, right now, is in grave danger of ending up dissolving like the Soviet Union. The odds are exceedingly high, for example, that Russia will be unable to retain Eastern Siberia. Just one region of Siberia, Yakutia or Sakha, one region of Siberia is the size of Western Europe. And the population is less than 1 million people, and less than half of that 1 million people are ethnic Russians. Right nearby, in the three northeastern provinces of China, there are 110 million people who are running out of water, they're running out of resources, and they're running out of women to marry. Already, multitudes of Chinese are living in Transbaikal and Primorsky-Kara, where Russian women are marrying them, just like they're marrying Muslim men in the middle of Volga. It's very hard to see how a Chinese Siberia is going to be avoided in the next decade or two. Very hard. Now, Mr. Putin is a very smart man. He's a very courageous man. Just last week, he had the intelligence and the courage to denounce global warming as a fraud, as a hoax, which of course it is. Biggest scam of modern times. He definitely has the capacity to see what is in his and in his country's best genuine self-interests. Russia needs to be a part of the West. Russia needs to join hands with NATO. Russia needs to bury Lenin and all he stands for. There's so much potential, ability, genius within the Russian people, so much capacity to prosper, and all it takes is the decision to do so, to start playing win-win, not win-lose, for real, in the Russian army. Thank you very much.
That got everyone's attention. And I think this is a good move to go to our coffee break. And in that,